Our Hubcast guest today moved from a career in fashion and retail buying to interior design. She initially started with supplying online services such as mood boards, but soon found herself providing complete end-to-end services, including project management. Let's find out how she did it. Welcome to the Hubcast, brought to you by the Interior Designers Hub, where we help and support interior designers to get trained, get into the industry, and to grow wildly successful businesses. If you want to work in the field you love, create the lifestyle you desire, and make the money you truly deserve, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Kate Hatherall. Let's get into it. I am so excited to welcome Andrea Yorston of Andrea Yorston Interior Design to the Hubcast today. Hi, Andrea, welcome.
Hi, Kate. It's very nice to be here.
Well, it's amazing to have you on here, and I'm really excited to hear your journey into interior design. So you have a business already up and running. So tell me a little bit about it, where you are, what sort of design do you do?
Sure. So my business is about 3.5 years old now, and it started very much as a sort of digital design service. I actually started in lockdown. So, it was kind of an interesting time to start a new business.
But sure.
It proved to be quite a good time because obviously I had a captive audience. So, it was a good way to get started. And it's sort of grown, really. As we came out of lockdown, obviously everybody was kind of itching to get their projects into reality. And I sort of accidentally slipped into much more of a, design and project management role. I say project management, I use that term loosely because obviously it can mean different things to different people. So I mean more sort of project planning and introducing trades that I have worked with and I trust to do a good job. It's kind of, I've ended up, I suppose, scaling up because I offer that end-to-end service. And it's been a little bit of trial and error, but I've now got to a point where I have some really good collaborations with local businesses that I absolutely can trust and know they're going to do a good job for me. So I'm very comfortable introducing them. So as a result of that, I've kind of ended up doing quite a lot of kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels. I don't have a niche in as much as I don't say I'm a specialist in kitchens or a specialist in bathrooms. I talk to my clients and literally I work with them on a very bespoke level to do as much or as little as they want me to do. But as I say, a lot of them come to me because I can offer that end-to-end service.
Amazing. And you say that you started it during lockdown as a kind of sort of digital enterprise. So do you mean by that that you were doing kind of 3D visualizations, or do you mean that you were just providing, kind of mood boards or like complete kind of design online?
It was sort of mood boards and floor plans really to start with. So I had to learn a lot of new skills. I wouldn't say I'm naturally techie, but I'm probably quite savvy now compared to what I was 3 years ago. So obviously Zoom, I was introduced to Zoom, and that was great because I did all of my I did all of my consultations via Zoom. But then my clients could kind of walk me around the house or around the room that they wanted to work on. I'd get them to sort of send me a little sketch, photograph with measurements on it. I'd literally, work with a digital mood board, a digital floor plan. And then in some cases, if we were going a bit further into like a sort of 3D format as well. But a lot of it was really just mood boards and visualization boards and that kind of thing during lockdown. And also I found myself talking to quite a few people who were just genuinely challenged by their living circumstances, because of course we all were thrust into this situation where we were having to work from home and many people homeschooling, and, you know, just found that their homes were not working for them. It was really stressful. So, you know, I sort of talked to people about how they could maybe dual purpose areas of the house and, you know, and things like that. So it just sort of developed and grew from there. And I did an awful lot of online networking as well, because obviously it was easy to do at that time. And, you know, just to sort of get the word out that way as well.
Makes total sense. And that, you know, that whole kind of, I think we all had a shift in the industry, whether, you know, obviously you were newer to it at that time. But for those of us that had worked in the industry before, there was definitely, you know, that need to suddenly have to pivot and to do things very differently. But it did show us as well that it is absolutely possible to do it virtually.
You know what? It's actually completely changed the way I work now, because I rarely do an initial consultation in person. Unless it's local, you know, like really local, I generally offer an initial Zoom call or, you know, some other kind of video method, and just have that initial chat so that I can meet the client, they can meet me, we can just have a little bit of a chat. Because, you know, I did a bit of this sort of previously, prior to having my son, like many years ago. And at that point, I was going out and meeting so many people, but finding that lots of people just wanted to pick my brain and actually had no intention of working with me. So I was wasting so much time and traveling, you know, an hour each way. So it's your fuel cost, your time, everything. Whereas now I'm like, yeah, I don't need to do that anymore. You know, this has become the new norm, and people, you know, nobody worries about anything if you say, you know, can we just jump on a video call? It's like, yeah, fine, okay. You know, everybody's so used to it. So that's been great, because it's just saved so much time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, so many people had never heard of Zoom before 2020. And now it's kind of just part of our everyday language and our everyday reality, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So you mentioned that you'd started up the business during COVID, so about 3.5 years ago now. Were you doing something different beforehand?
Yeah, so my whole background is in fashion and retail. So I did a 4-year degree course many years ago, and I started my career way back with Next in the very early days, in buying, product sourcing, and, you know, I've worked for a few brands, and that has been my career for a long time. And back in 2016, I was made redundant from quite a senior position due to cutbacks and so on, in a company that I'd been with for 10 years. So I haven't shifted a lot. I've been very loyal to the companies I've worked with. And it just came as a complete bolt out of the blue. Right. And it took me 6 months to find another job at the right sort of level that I needed. Yeah. And it meant that I was having to commute to London. So the commute to London from where I live is about an hour on the train. We've got a pretty good service. But then I had another 30 minutes when I got into London to get to where I was working. And I did that for 2 years, and it was utterly exhausting. And sadly, I lost my father in that time as well. So it just meant that my mum became more dependent and needed more support. Yeah. And it was just becoming impossible. And I was really getting to the point where I thought I was going to completely lose my sanity. Yeah. And I just thought, I've got to do something. I cannot carry on working like this. So I took a leap of faith and I decided to go freelance. And it was a massive leap of faith because, you know, I'm single. So, you know, I am the income earner. I have a mortgage to pay. But I just kind of figured, I know enough people. I know enough. I've been doing this job for long enough. And a lot of my friends were saying to me, you should just use this opportunity to do what you're so good at and what you're passionate about, which was interiors. I've renovated, you know, like, and rebuilt many, many properties in various places, not just the UK, but, you know, Belgium and France and Spain over the years. Wow. And so I thought, actually, yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start building an interior business, but obviously I need to be earning some money whilst I'm doing that. And I guess in some respects, I was very lucky because I picked up a couple of freelance contracts straight away, but then they took up all my time. I was really busy with them. So I never started doing what I'd intended to do, which is why when lockdown hit or when the pandemic hit, literally all that freelance work just fell off a cliff overnight. Oh, so, you know, it went from feast to famine. And I just thought, you know, I what am I going to do? I've got to think of something to do. Yeah. I know, I might as well use my time wisely. And all this time that I've been saying, I haven't got time to do that, I haven't got any space to think about it, I've got all the time in the world now. I just figure out how to do it.
Well, that's incredible. And I guess at that point you sort of almost called your own bluff and said, well, now I have to do it because all of the excuses have gone.
And one thing I didn't mention, I spent a stint working abroad. I went to live in Belgium and Holland for 10 years. And during my time in Holland, that's when I sort of really got involved with interiors, because I went to work for an interior designer for a period of time. She was quite a high-end designer in Maastricht in Holland, and she had a sort of antique and interior business. So I guess I sort of got some real grounding in terms of working with clients and, you know, understanding how to put costings together for them. And she had this great model because she had a retail store as well, impeccable taste. I mean, she used to stock, you know, really good quality brands and everything. And so I would go to some of the trade fairs with her and things like that. But what she would do is when she was finishing a project, she would just fill a van full of beautiful accessories, send her driver to the client, and she would be there to meet him, and then literally just accessorized the whole room to take photographs. And then more often than not, the clients would just say, can you just send me the bill, please? This is great. Very, very clever.
I love that. Because, of course, once you've seen it, you can't then really take it back, can you? You don't want it to go back to how it was before. What a great strategy. I love that.
And fortunately, you know, she had the level of clients who could afford to do that. So it was, you know, it worked really, really well. But, yeah, interesting grounding, you know, in terms of not being completely unaware of what was expected when I started my own business.
And when you did start it, and obviously, as you said, you were in lockdown and you, you know, all of those excuses had fallen away and now you had to do it. But you've also said that you're a single person, you're the sole income in your household. So what did you give yourself an amount of time in which you had to make it work? Like, how did you manage that? Because that must be quite scary to think.
I was lucky that I did have some savings. And I did what probably a lot of people did. You know, I spoke to my mortgage lender and, you know, everybody was offering, you know, I don't know, I think like 3 months, you know, payment deferrals and, you know, just I just did everything that I could possibly think of to save as much money as I could in the time that I was trying to get things set up. There were certain things I did need to invest in, but none of it was really heavy investment because, you know, it was all online and it was all digital and things like that. So, I didn't have a lot of money going out. And of course, you know, we weren't able to go anywhere or do anything. So I think I just sort of said to myself, I know this isn't going to happen overnight. So, you know, let's see where I am in 6 months' time. Let's see where the world is in 6 months' time. I was still talking to people in my old world to see if there was anything I could do on a sort of freelance basis. Nothing really materialized, but I was just sort of keeping those avenues open because, again, nobody really knew what was going to happen. But then, as I say, I did I get lucky? I worked really hard. I mean, I was literally, well, a lot of my friends were either carrying on working normally because they were in full-time jobs and they were just working from home. Or a couple of my friends, I think, were on, what was it called when, you know, people got paid but didn't Yeah, that's it. Thank you. You know, a couple of people were doing that and they were just like, oh, I'm just treating it like a, you know, a bit of a break, which, you know, is welcome and all of this kind of thing. And I was literally working 24/7, working out of my I have a room that we call the den, which is the garage conversion. But it is very much a den because it doesn't have much natural daylight. So I was squirreled away in there from, you know, sort of dawn until dusk, 7 days a week. But, you know, it paid off in the end. And, you know, fortunately, it did sort of grow into something that I was actually making some money on my time. And I did carry on. I did, I've done a couple of sort of, yeah, like consultancy projects for like a day a week since, you know, sort of between then and now, which again just helped to sort of boost the income a little bit, but still allowed me the flexibility to do what I needed to do to build my own business as well.
I love that. And that's really helpful as well for other people to hear how you did that, because there are, you know, aside from all of the mindset stuff, which we might talk about in a minute, but the practical stuff is where people sometimes come unstuck, because they don't, obviously, understandably, don't want to be giving up the income that they've got at the moment. And making that leap into a new future actually can be really scary. And especially if you are, you know, the sole provider in your household and those sorts of things. And so it's really good to hear about, you know, the practical steps that you took. So about trying to restructure different finances and about making sure that you worked really hard and, you know, keeping your outgoings as low as possible. And, you know, it just goes to show that it is possible to do it and to be successful at it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I guess it's like everything, you know, you live and learn. And I've had some really steep learning curves. And I think I'm, you know, I'm starting to read potential clients a little bit better now. I'm definitely a lot more savvy when it comes to the contract and the legal side. I'm using the Hub contract. Actually, I really want to stress that as well, Kate. It's fantastic. I paid quite a lot of money for legal contracts, which were very wordy. And whenever I tried to use them, I ended up having so many discussions with the clients going backwards and forwards. And I started using the Hub contract at the beginning of this year. And the first three I sent out, I didn't have any questions at all. People, my clients just signed them and that was it. I was like, this is great. So it's fantastic. And I think those kind of resources are super helpful, because I do feel some things I've really learned the hard way and I've got caught out, and it's cost me a lot of stress, but it's also cost me money in some cases as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is that, you know, when you are out there on your own and you perhaps don't have the Hub by your side, you don't necessarily know these things, as indeed I didn't when I started out. Yeah. And you do make mistakes and they can be really costly. And yes, you do learn from them and they are valuable lessons, but it'd be so much nicer to not have to make them in the first place.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree.
So we've talked about kind of the practicalities of how you got to where you are now. What about kind of those mindset things? So, I mean, obviously you'd had some fantastic experience in the past with especially working with an interior designer. But were there some things where you felt, you know, maybe I don't know how to do this, or I'm not good enough, or were there any things like that that kind of made you feel uncomfortable or worried about doing it?
Yeah, I guess interiors have always been a fashion. I just kind of feel like it's in my blood. I've traveled a lot in my previous career, like an awful lot across the world to places I never probably would have gone to had it not been for work. So I'm a bit of a squirrel. I like to collect things. I get really inspired by all sorts of things when I'm traveling. And so my home has become a bit of an eclectic sort of mix of things, and I've lived abroad. I've had a holiday home in the south of France. I've had a home in Spain. We rebuilt a home in Belgium. So I've had a lot of kind of hands-on experience, but driven by my passion to just create the kind of home that I wanted. So I think that was kind of has always been the driving force. And I've always sort of, you know, friends come to me, have always come to me for tips and advice And it was, I guess, my friends saying to me, you could do this. And I definitely had the imposter syndrome and said, you know, look, I do it myself and it pleases me. And, you know, that's fine. But I'm not sure I could do this, you know, and actually be earning money from it. And they're like, no, I'm sure you could. So there was definitely that slight imposter thing. But I think it was because I was forced into a situation where I didn't have anything else to do. I wasn't earning any kind of money. That sort of almost forced me to go, well, look, I might as well give it a go because what have I got to lose? And then probably was a little bit surprised that people were willing to pay me money for my advice and services. And as I say, I've built a network of people that I really trust, that I have a really open and honest relationship with. So I know that I've got some really good people there that if I'm not sure about something, I can ask them and they'll say, well, we'll get a structural surveyor in then and he'll double check it. Or do you know what I mean? And it's just kind of, yeah, building, you know, I guess slowly building up that sort of network of people that, you know, if they say it's okay, it's going to be okay. And actually they're taking the responsibility for it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking back to those beginning stages where you were getting yourself up and running in this business, where did your first customer or first few customers come from? How did you actually get people to come and know about you and buy from you?
So I actually used Bark, the platform, which I really don't particularly like, but I have had some good clients from it. And it is, you know, obviously you have to invest money in it. It costs you to buy leads. It's very difficult to tell whether they are genuine or not. But actually the first few were, and that's what sort of started it. And then, you know, I got to the point where a couple of people passed my details on to friends or relatives. I also started using House very, very early on, House Pro. I use their back office, which I just find that was my main reason, really. But then obviously there is a certain amount of leads that come through that. And I'm just, you know, again, I'm chipping away at all of that stuff and just trying to grow it. And I've also just got accreditation with SBID as well, which I'm super excited about. So, you know, again, it's this marketing, it's the social media, all the things that I really felt very uncomfortable with and wasn't necessarily, yes, I had an Instagram account that was personal that I just shared a bit of, you know, the odd thing with friends, but I'm not one of those like constantly on. So, well, I wasn't, I have to be now. You know, it was learning those kind of skills and learning what I need it to do. How can I attract people? And I've done a lot of, you know, I listen to podcasts, I do mini training courses, you know, I'm always learning or reading or doing something, because I just think when you are, you know, running your own business, you have to wear so many hats. And until you can afford or feel comfortable to afford to bring other people in who are experts in that field, you just have to do the best you can. But then your time is limited and you're spinning so many plates. So you have to know that what you're doing is the right thing, or at least understand how to analyze and work out whether it's the right thing. And if it's not, just stop doing it because you can spend your time doing something better. So I got to a point, I think, where I realized the only way I was going to be able to do a bit more and really sort of grow my business was I had to let go of one or two things. So I started working with a virtual assistant.
Yes.
And again, it was great because she was fairly new in her job. I mean, in terms of it was her own business, she'd obviously done what she did for a long time, but setting herself up in her own business. So we were sort of probably at a similar level when we met. And she was actually introduced to me by my accountant. So again, you know, he spoke very highly of her. And we just hit it off from day one. And I invested quite a lot of time with her just trying to, relay what my brand values were and what I was trying to do. And she was really helpful, you know, in doing some of the customer calls or some of the follow-up, if there were contracts that needed to go out, all the things that do take up quite a lot of time. But I just knew she could do it. But she didn't want to have me on a retainer. She was just like, I will just bill you for the hours I work for you. So if I do half an hour today, I'll bill you for half an hour today. If it's 3 hours tomorrow. And that's how it worked. And that was scary, you know, sort of, you know, at what point do you start spending some of your hard-earned money on other people? But I found her a real asset, and it did actually free up time then. And actually what I was paying her was, my time was much more valuable than that, if that makes sense, to do the bits, the strategic bits to grow my business.
It absolutely does. And I think that many people leave it too late before recruiting help. And actually, and I'm always saying to people, you need to get some help in now, because people think, well, like, I can't because I can't afford it at the moment. But it's almost a bit of a chicken and egg situation, where actually, if you invest in it, it frees you up to do what you're best at. And that actually makes more money than if you're trying to do all of those things yourself as well.
Absolutely. And I would say one of the things as well, I mean, I did become a bit of a networking tart during lockdown, but I've met some really valuable and great people who have actually become not just real good business colleagues, but friends as well in a lot of cases. And, you know, just by sort of talking to them and, you know, having them as sounding boards is also really helpful. And I think, if you have a good business network that you can, you don't have to have this professional persona all the time, because everybody's going through similar things, just at different stages. So I found it really useful, you know, sort of having those people around me. And if I was having a bad day, I could just message somebody and go, do you know what? I really don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I've, you know, this has happened or that's happened. And then I get a message back going, oh my God, I had such a week last week, but do you know what? Forget about it. Brush yourself down, pick yourself up, get on with it. Or, you know, if you want to chat, let's pick up the phone and have a coffee in the morning. And I think, again, that's really important for people who are starting out on their own, because especially for me, having come from a corporate background, I was always used to having a team, having people around me, different departments, you know, people that you never made a decision solely on your own. It was always, you know, had to go through various channels. And so I think, again, when you're working alone, that is really, really hard, and it can be a really, really lonely place. Yeah. And then through the networking, you know, I go to as many local events as I can if I think they're going to be useful. And I discovered early last year that De Montfort University, which is my sort of local university, they were doing a graduate scheme, and I applied for a marketing graduate, so a second year marketing graduate who came to work with me for 6 weeks during the summer holidays, completely funded by De Montfort University.
Wow.
And I think those are the kind of things that people need to look for. You know, look at your, we have a fantastic business hub within the local council here. They are very supportive of small businesses. But, you know, just, yeah, find out, go and see those people, talk to them, phone them, whatever you have to do. Because sometimes it's the only way you can find out about these things. So yeah, anything like that. And she's ended up staying on and working with me on a freelance basis as well, which is great.
Amazing. And it's a win-win. You know, helps you out, helps them out as well. Fantastic.
Yeah,
so if you were to look back across kind of this whole journey, or if you could go back and speak to your younger self, is there any advice that you would give yourself?
Yeah, do what I've done a hell of a lot earlier in my life. Get off that corporate ladder and just do it. And I think, you know, it is hard. Let's not pretend. It's really hard sometimes. And, you know, I still have days when I just go, oh God, what am I doing? But I think, you know, it's a journey. And I think I've got to a point where I kind of needed that 3.5 years to know as much about what I don't want to do as what I do want to do. So I'm just kind of re-looking at my business at the moment. I still want to do the bigger projects, but they take quite a long time. So from a cash flow point of view, it can take a long time before the money starts to come through. So there has to be a balance. So, you know, I'm looking at what services I can offer that are more instant. You know, are there any local businesses that I can collaborate with in terms of marketing myself? You know, so we're doing it more as a kind of collaboration. Just thinking about other things I can do. And I've actually written a course as well. I've spent 6 months writing an online course for people. I guess I speak to a lot of people who really, really need help with their interiors. They're just completely, they just don't know where to start, you know. And I'm a real believer that our environment has such a massive impact on our well-being. Absolutely. And I just don't feel people put enough emphasis on that. So some of my clients that I work with, you know, I just, you can see why they're stressed, because the environment that they're living in just isn't functioning. So the whole point of me writing my course was to build something that can give me some residual income, but also just reach a wider audience and maybe reach those people who can't afford a one-to-one service or don't think they can afford a one-to-one service, but just to sort of help them with the toolkit or the roadmap, like what do they need to think about? What order do they need to do things in? You know, don't rip out your bathroom suite if you haven't quite decided what you're going to do next, which
it happens surprisingly often.
So, I'm still, you know, constantly thinking, how can I change my business model to, I think, make it work better for me, you know, in terms of the money into the business, but also to give me the life work balance that I want as well. And again, you know, having people to support, and I did employ an assistant just over a year ago as well, just part time. Again, it suits her. She's a mum with a young family, so we have a very flexible working relationship, but it really works well both sides. And again, you know, that's a great way, I think, of just getting to that point where you feel a bit more comfortable about paying someone else to help you.
Yeah, amazing. And I love the kind of sense that comes across from you about the network and the collaborations, the working with other people, and how important they are to your business success as well. It's really, really great to see. Andrea, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. Before you go, would you be happy to play a game of designer this or that?
Absolutely.
Amazing. Okay, so I'm going to put a minute on the clock and over to you for making some choices. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, here goes. Formal or casual?
Casual.
Blinds or curtains?
Ooh, blinds. It's a tricky one.
Dark or light?
Light.
Maximalist or minimalist?
Minimalist.
Spots or stripes?
Stripes.
Scandi or boho?
Scandi.
Art deco or pop art?
Art deco.
Changing room or interior design masters?
Interior design masters.
Floral or plain?
Plain.
George Clark or Kevin MacLeod?
Oh, George Clark.
Symmetrical or asymmetrical?
Symmetrical.
Brushed chrome or shiny chrome?
Brushed.
Faux plants or real plants?
Real.
And brand paints or colour matched?
Colour matched.
Amazing. We are just out of time. And thank you so much. That was fun. Andrea, I'm really grateful to have had you onto the Hubcast today and hearing about your journey, which has been really inspirational. And I'm sure that other people are really going to take a lot from your bravery and changing your career and that kind of leap into the unknown. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning into Hubcast by the Interior Designers Hub. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a screenshot and share it to Facebook, Instagram, or your favourite social media channel. Make sure to tag me in at Interior Designers Hub and let me know what you enjoyed about this episode. I reply to each and every comment. I'd also like to offer you an incredible free gift, which is going to show you the exact roadmap that you need to take to become a wildly successful interior designer. It shares our secrets to business success. If you'd like to get your hands on that, head on over to interiordesignershub.co.uk/roadmap right now. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.